Joining me on the phone now, I have Peggy Galligan and Gerry Buckley going to tell us all about a special event coming up on the 24th of April, a citizens' commemoration of 1916. Good afternoon, Peggy. Good afternoon, Gerry. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mark. Thank you very much for having us on your programme.
Not at all, Peggy. It's great to have you. How are you, Gerry? Nice to talk to you too. Gerry, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to start with Peggy first, if I may.
Okay.
Yep. Peggy, maybe what you could do is give us an overview of the National Graves Association, their history, its aims, and stuff like that. And before we talk about, because people might have heard the National Graves Association, but they may not necessarily know what it is.
I know, yes, of course. Well, the National Graves Association, as we know it today, was formed in 1926. Now, a Graves and Monuments Committee did exist prior to that, from the 1880s. But, of course, with the events of 1916, the Tan War, the Civil War, by the time 1926 came, so many, many had perished, and many without any markings on their graves whatsoever. Now, a great gentleman by the name of Sean Fitzpatrick was on his way home in a train from a commemoration when the thought struck him that it would be very important to form a committee with the view to marking all the graves of the Patriot dead, and even in future years to have them replaced or repaired or whatever, that those who had made the supreme sacrifice wouldn't be forgotten altogether. So Mrs. Tom Clark, she was the widow of the first signatory to the proclamation, Thomas J. Clark, she was on the committee too. Joe Clark, he was a veteran Republican of one of the fiercest battles of the rising Mount Street Bridge. Mm-hmm. He was there. And a great supporter also was the opera singer Margaret Burke Sheridan.
Oh, okay.
Now, committee was formed, they had to set about locating graves of patriots, of course, that weren't known, maybe only in their own district, their own families, and appropriately marking the graves. Now, it's a non-political organisation. Nobody on the executive is permitted to belong to any particular political party whatsoever. We don't take state funding, and we depend on the subscriptions of our associate members, of supporters, and the general public, of course. And the aims were always the aspiration of a united Ireland. That was always and never will change from that. And we make no distinctions. The graves, anybody who contacts us, maybe even if they are buried in family graves, families not in a position to maintain them or maybe need replacing, we do that willingly. And it is always the intention to remember our dead, that they lie in consecrated ground with dignity and that they're not forgotten. And of course, also during the years, many patriots who died abroad were repatriated by the National Graves Association. For instance, the Connaught Rangers, mm-hmm. Reggie Dunn and Joe O'Sullivan, they were executed in London on the 10th of August 1922, Barnes and McCormick. We always, with the exception of Roger Casement, of course, he had a state funeral. There was no, the rest of the families all placed the arrangements in the hands of the National Graves Association. So we have a long history. But of course, this year now, our main event is the unveiling of the refurbished commemorative monument on the 24th of April, a very appropriate date, 1916, the centenary of that. And of course it applies generally to the civilians and also to the patriots, the ordinary people who died, because we owe not just to Ireland's famed leaders alone a great debt for our struggle, our fight, but to those who maybe lie in a little under a little white cross with an almost effaced RIP. But that day is a day when the citizens of this country will have an opportunity to pay homage to those patriots, not known, maybe their names would mean nothing to anybody, mm-hmm. but it will be a day to remember. And in the years to come, no doubt, it will be etched in their memory. It'll be preceded by musical entertainment in O'Connell Street at the GPO, and we hope it'll be one day when it'll be etched in the memory of those who attend that day to pay homage, but also a day of celebration too, because I'm sure the patriots who gave their lives, they were willing to do so, and they wouldn't want unnecessary grief, but dignity and remembrance, and that is the policy of the National Graves Association.
Okay.
And also, I would like to thank our supporters, and especially a word of thanks to Robert Balla. He has been invaluable with this project, and we could never thank him enough. And also, of course, those who we received donations from them, and we're more than grateful to everybody for everything they've done, and we trust that it'll be an appropriate memorial to our patriot dead, and it'll be a day for everybody to reflect maybe, but also, as I say, a day of celebration.
Yeah. I just wanted to come back there on something you said to me, something you said there. And, you know, it's really interesting because I've heard of them, but like you're saying there, lots of people don't really understand the work they do or know about the work they do or whatever or why they do it. The non-political aspect is how important is that to your association?
Very important.
That in the sense of, you know, especially around this centenary 1916, I mean, it is a centenary for the whole nation, regardless of political persuasion.
It's a pivotal point
in history.
Everybody should have a part in it, you know, without exception, because we have never been affiliated to any political party, you know, we would intend to do so, and our constitution wouldn't stand for that anyway. Because, as I say, each deserves to be remembered with respect and dignity, in no matter what century or what, you know, decade they died.
Indeed.
So everybody is equal with us. There's no exceptions.
Yeah. Thanks very much for that, Peggy. Jerry, if I could talk to you for a few minutes before I do. Sorry, can I just one of you has a radio on in the background. Could I ask you to turn it down, because it kind of gives us feedback here?
It's not mine anyway.
It might be you, Jerry, is it?
No, I have headphones on. Is that what's causing the problem?
I can kind of hear my voice feeding back to me, but it's not too bad. It's not too bad now, Jerry. Thanks a lot. Jerry, so on the 24th, Peggy's kind of, and you yourself, you've been involved in kind of the refurbishment committee and the mobilisation committee, as they call it, for getting this event up and running. Maybe you could give us a little background on some of the work that you did in that capacity.
Yeah, well, the committee was formed, I think it was in 2012, 13, I'm not sure exactly when. A couple of years back, anyway. It seems forever at this stage, because the goal was to refurbish this memorial to put it into a fitting state, and certainly future-proof it, if you like, so that it'll be a very dignified monument for people. It had become quite tired, and it was the basis, and of course the centenary itself, that was the basis why it needed to be done. And Glasnevin in general has been refurbished for the most part. St. Paul's hasn't started yet, but I believe that there's a chapel being built alongside this memorial at some stage in the near future. So it was sort of imperative that this particular memorial be looked at because of the centenary. The cost of refurbishing was estimated at around between 140 and 150,000 euro. And of course, it was completely clad with Wicklow granite, and the inscription was redone on it, and it's absolutely fabulous, pristine condition now at this stage. And of course, all the old paving is gone, and we have Kilkenny limestone down, and it's absolutely fabulous looking. But I mean, the efforts to get that, I've said that in about a minute, but the efforts to get the money to do that, and as Peggy already said, if it weren't for Robert Balla, a lot of this would be probably 2 years behind schedule at this stage, because the work that he done on behalf of National Grid is invaluable. The CD that you have there for What Died the Sons of Roisin, the front artwork on that is is for the birth of the Irish Republic, and Robert Balla painted that print for a painting for us, and we copied 300 prints from that, and we sold them at €350 each. They could be bought online and be delivered to your door in a cardboard tube, and I think there's an extra €9 or €10 posters, and they went out over the world on people, and we also sold them in a standard frame. It was an extra €70, and a lot of people preferred to have them in the frame. So that brought in a huge amount of money and allowed the project to get started very early, and phase one was commenced quite early in the process. So as time went on, of course, now they didn't all sell the 1 week. They so I think there's about probably 10 or 15 of those prints left. And then he'd done a second print for us, which was unveiled on the 1st of August to coincide with the 100th anniversary of the death of Jeremiah O'Donovan Rossa. And
Jerry, I'm going to have to cut across you there because you're breaking up very badly, and the earphones are feeding back very badly. I don't know whether
I'm not using earphones now. I haven't got the earphones in.
You were breaking up just there for a little bit. You're back on now, all right. I don't know whether you maybe moved the phone.
You're all right. Sorry about that.
It's just all it is I know. I just don't want people to miss what you're saying. That's all. You're just breaking up a little bit. You're okay. There you go. Okay.
The Jeremiah O'Donovan Rossa, that headstone in the cemetery was refurbished as well by the National Graves, I think in 2011 or 2012, and they put a new stone and lovely artwork. The artwork was designed by one of the executive aide Lambert. He designed that, and it's absolutely magnificent. And the whole of the 1st of August, and the state had a commemoration there, and then the different groups and the National Graves themselves had a huge commemoration there. And on that day, we unveiled this second print that Robert Balla done, which is it's a print of the actual graveside scene where Páraic Pearce gives that famous oration where he finishes is the oration by the fools, the fools, the fools.
Yeah.
They've left us our Fenian dead. While Ireland holds these graves, Ireland unfree will never be at peace. That was sort of a seminal moment in Irish history. And in fact, it was sort of an indication to all and sundry that wanted to listen that there was something big coming after. And of course, that was the 1916 rising. So those two prints in themselves played a huge part in getting the money in. And then, of course, we had sponsored walks. We had that CD that you have in front of you. I compiled that for the National Graves as a fundraiser, but also as a piece of memorabilia that will be there in years to come. People will pass it on, and it'll be in people's drawers, and it'll be in their wardrobe, or wherever they keep their sort of memorabilia. And these things will show up in years to come, while the technology is sort of becoming obsolete because everyone has this stuff on their phones. Nonetheless, a CD is a piece of memorabilia. And of course, we'll also have a magazine coming out called The Unfinished Struggle. And that will, of course, be important too, because there'll be lots of articles in it from people who have contributed to the magazine. And it will be, of course, a fundraiser as well. So the National Graves, because we're such... We go from hand to mouth, if you like, because we don't have safe funding, we don't accept it, and we raise the money as the issues arrive on our doorstep. We have to go and find the money, therefore. And it's not just that commemorations are Easter, it's all year round, every year for since 1926 and previous to that as well. So that's what they do, and they're probably the unsung heroes in lots of regards there. That's why I feel I wanted to support them coming into the centenary commemorations, because there was so much work to do and so much so much money to get and raise. And it's not easy raising money, of course.
No,
so again,
not
like
in this day and age.
Germaine have been, sorry?
Not in this day and age.
No, but the main event anyway for the, sort of to celebrate this rededication is the citizens' commemoration on the 24th of April, mm-hmm. and it'll start around 10 a.m. in the morning. There'll be a couple, three band. Well, one band is our own little band called the Sons of Roisin, and that was put together solely to promote the CD and help sell it, because this CD is not in retail outlets; it can only be got through the National Graves. So if other people are at a commemoration, which hopefully a lot will be on the 24th, there will be CDs available that day, as will our magazine. So that's how we sell them, because the people that donated this material to the CD would have these tracks on their own albums in shops. And that we did not go in competing with that, because these people donated this material to us as part of the fundraiser. So it's not on retail outlets, but it is available to the National Graves. So the things like that, that's the type of fundraising we do.
Yeah.
And the band, like the Sons of Roisin, will play for from 10 a.m. till about 10:35. There's a couple of solo artists. There's two American singers, Matt Callahan and Yvonne Moore. We have Brendan Devereaux, a thingless singer-songwriter. And then we have Evelyn Campbell. Evelyn will be probably known by a lot of people because she sings at most of these water marches and such type of demonstrations like that. And then, of course, we have Chris Cartney, the legend of Lou Kelly. Chris is coming down and he'll be doing about 35, 40 minutes.
Okay.
And then, of course, we'll have Derek Warfield and the Young Wolves Tones to finish it and bring it up to around 1 o'clock, 1:05. And then, of course, the parade will be assembling the colour party outside the GPO, and it'll be moving off at 1:30 and taking it nice and handy all the way up to Glasnevin Cemetery.
So
there'll be about 10 different bands. There's one coming from America, one coming from Australia, Scotland, Ireland. And so there's a huge cross-section of entertainment and music right through the day. And then, of course, when we get to Glasnevin, it'll be just a lone piper will bring the colour party and the parade in behind it into the cemetery. And we will have the rededication. Now, it's going to be rededicated by, to a large extent, a man that made a lot of this possible, which is Robert Ballard. Robert has agreed to rededicate the memorial. We'll have James Connolly Heron, the great-grandson of James Connolly. He'll be reading the proclamation. There'll be a whole range of different aspects to this. And, of course, our chairman, Tommy McCartney, will be giving the oration.
Oh, okay.
There's a whole range of events going on that day from 10 a.m. in the morning right through to about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So, sounds like a busy day. And, Peggy, if I could come back to you...
Yes.
A day like this, I'd imagine, as you say, lots of preparation, lots of work to be done, getting people involved and everything else. And you really want it to be a celebration for everybody, as we said.
Of course, yes, it'll be a commemoration, but a celebration as well. Because those who sacrificed, you know, their lives,
yeah.
Many who will be there that day will be young people as they were when they gave their lives. And I hope it'll be a day when it'll be etched in their memory that it was a happy day as well as a day of commemoration. And we look forward to seeing the citizens. They're so welcome to come mm-hmm. and join us on that day in Glasnevin on the very appropriate date of the anniversary of the Rising. And we again thank all our supporters, our associate members, Robert Balla, and thank you too for having us on your programme. We're very grateful indeed.
Yeah. Well, as you say, hopefully we get a great bit of weather and get plenty of people torn out and just enjoying the history and enjoying remembering the events of 100 years ago. Gerry, before I go, can I just come back to you? Maybe just you'll remind people maybe of the times and the dates, and if they want any information where they can get it.
Okay, well, most of the information for the citizens' commemoration, and indeed most of what we've been discussing is on the National Graves website, nga.ie, and that's where they'll get all the information they need. The times, well, of course, 10 o'clock, the music is hoped to start at 10 a.m. Now, we'd be there much earlier because the stage has to go in and all that sort of paraphernalia has to go on. And there'll be plenty of stewarding. It'll be very well stewarded and managed right throughout the day from beginning to end. And they'll all be easily identifiable. So if people have any questions, they can go to one of the stewards and get help. And we'll have a grand marshal and all that's looking after the parade. So yeah,
it's a family friendly event, yeah.
Well, it's absolutely a family day because everyone they're all citizens. They're quite entitled to be there. And it doesn't matter from what part of the country they're from, what colour, what persuasion. There's room for everybody.
Yes, you know. Indeed.
The only thing I will say, of course, is that there will be no political banners. There will be no. The only banners that will be there on the only banner is needed on the day is the National Graves banner, because banners tend to segregate people.
Yes.
We want everyone as Irish, like as Wolf Tone said, he wanted the citizens to be known as Irishmen. You know, we're all Irishmen and women, and that's what we want, sort of the people of no property, the ordinary, everyday person. That's what this is about, going out and commemorating as a nation.
Yeah.
The men and women that died for Irish freedom.
Well, we wish you every success, Ray. As I said to Peggy there, I hope, you know, the weather holds out and everything else, and you get plenty of people turning out, and it'll be a celebration, as you say, and a great day for everyone involved. Listen, Gerry, thanks for taking the time, for taking the call this afternoon from us, and Peggy too. Great to talk to you, and as I say, we wish you luck with the event, and maybe I'll talk to you afterwards and you can come back and let me know how it went off.
You said earlier you had the Boggy Dew on there before the programme, and there's 32 tracks on that album, one for every county in Ireland. So you probably have one a day, probably just about enough days to get one a day in up till the time of the...
Up to the time of the commemoration. We'll do our best, and I have one lined up. I'll be going to a short break after I talk to you guys, and then I have Chris Kavanagh, you said, wrote a special song particularly it's called 100 Years Ago.
Well, him and his wife, actually, we shouldn't leave his wife out because Hillary participated in that, and they wrote that song especially for the 100 Year Centenary. And the interesting thing about that, if I just briefly say it, that a lot of people would say that the people who wouldn't be too interested in any of 1916 or Patriots, they would poo poo it sort of and say that doesn't matter anymore. But in actual fact, it does. And when people go out and write songs and lyrics about events that happened 100 years ago, it's still in people's minds. It's still right there in the front of their mind, and they're very proud to be writing songs commemorating. And this song was written when I rang Chris, asked him would he do two tracks for us, and I thought he would have them already recorded with a lot of his other stuff, and he said, no, what ones would you like me to do? And I said, well, could you do A Nation Once Again and Wrap the Green Flag Round Me? And he went off and he rang me back and he says, well, I've done Wrap the Green Flag Round, and he went into his recording studio and he recorded it and sent it on to me. And then he says, instead of A Nation Once Again, he says, Hillary and myself have written a new song for the centenary. Have a listen to it, and if you like it, you're quite entitled to use it. And I think this is the only album in the country that this track is on. So it's brand new, and it's exclusive to the National Graves Association. So, yes, put it on, let the people listen to it.
We'll have a listen to it after the break. But for now, Gerry Buckley and Peggy Galligan, thanks very much for coming on and talking to us on Near FM. And we wish you every success with the event, and as I say, we'll talk to you maybe again when it's over and you can let us know how it went off. Thanks very much for talking to us.
God bless. Take care.
Cheers. All the best. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. There you go, folks. That's Peggy Galligan and Jerry Buckley, very much involved in the Citizens Commemoration, which is going to take place on Sunday the 24th of April 2016 over there at the GPO. You know, lots of events, lots of bands, lots of colour. Sounds like it's going to be a very, very diverse and interesting event. So if you want to get along to it, the 24th of April from 10 a.m. at the GPO, and then eventually the parade will move on up to towards St. Paul's there at Glasnevin. And yeah, sounds like it's going to be a really, really interesting day.